Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church. Both of those of you who are here in person, I'm so glad to see you this rainy morning, and as well those of you online. It is our prayer in this season of Lent as we gather for worship that you will know and experience the compassion and mercy of God in Jesus Christ. A couple of announcements this morning. We are continuing the Super Bowl collection of canned goods for Goochland Cares through the end of the month, which means next Sunday will be our last Sunday for you to bring your items. This is a time of year that the food bank needs their donations. They're lean coming in, so giving makes a big impact. So please bring your donation to the receptacles in Holman Hall by next Sunday, and thank you ahead of time for your generosity. Join us following worship, as always, in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. I think we have some king cake back there left from Mardi Gras. Today is also the last day to check address information on the two sheets in Holman Hall, and then it goes to press. So if you want to be sure your information is right in the church directory, please check those two sheets of information, front and back. And now we have a note from Pastor Noah on our Lenten worship.
The Lord be with you. If you look in your bulletin, you'll notice that there are a couple things that are different. One of which is you have an insert. For the season of Lent, Marcus and I have decided that we're going to learn a new Gloria Patri, a new glory to God. Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is an ancient hymn. Actually, here's our fun fact. It was a protest song. The church was in a battle against what was known as the Arians. The Arians didn't believe that Jesus was God, that he became God or became the Son. And so the Trinitarians, the other side of the battle, they started this taunt song called the Gloria Patri. So we sing it every week in worship of our triune God because it is a true statement. The Trinitarians won out, as it were. Anyhow, that's just a fun fact. We're going to learn a new version of that today. And so we're going to practice real quick. So I pull out that insert. Marcus will play through it once, and then he'll go start again, and we will sing together. Okay?
Please rise as we are called to worship. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
Tested by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus said, "You shall worship the Lord your God alone." Let us worship God.
Same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, during this season of Lent, repent us that we may see the truth of our sin, but also the promise of your redemption. Turn us from all that separates us from you and restore in us the baptismal promise of new life that is in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful and just. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Most merciful God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, was tempted in every way, yet was without sin, we confess before you our sinfulness. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to save. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. By your Holy Spirit, restore in us such trust and love that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Almighty God, in his great mercy, gave Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross. And for Christ's sake, he forgives you all your sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
It's now time for our children's message. And if I know some of you read the scripture ahead of time in the weekly email, and I'll just tell you that there's not a great temptation of Jesus story in children's Bibles. It doesn't really fit with a more lighthearted theme. However, the story of The story of the temptation is preceded by an equally as important story. And so that's what we're going to read today. Welcome. Okay, good morning, friends. We're going to read this story about John the Baptist. Jesus' cousin John loved God very much. He preached to anyone who would listen. When people were ready to follow God, John washed them in the river. This washing was called baptism. Jesus went to visit John one day. "Baptize me," he said. John looked at his cousin, and he realized that Jesus was God's chosen one. "I cannot baptize you. I am not worthy," John said. "God wants it this way," replied Jesus. "Do as I ask." So John washed Jesus in the river. When he was done, God spoke to Jesus. "You are my own dear son. I am pleased with you." The end. Will you pray with me? See your prayer hands. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us.
Who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
Help us to remember.
Help us to remember.
How much he loves us.
How much he loves us.
And what he has done for us.
In his name,
we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 5, 12 through 19. Listen now to God's word. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the world of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many die through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When trials come.
us pray. O God, through this pilgrim journey of life, accompany us with the light of your word. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, shine that light to illumine our path as we journey in this Lenten season, the road to the cross. And even as we look to the cross, give us glimpses of that glorious third day. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our second scripture reading, our gospel reading this morning, comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter, beginning in the first verse. What we read in the children's message is the story just previous to this. So in chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus comes to his cousin John and is baptized. And the heavens open up and the Spirit descends and God proclaims, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then, as the Gospel of Mark says, immediately he is driven out into the wilderness. So listen now to God's word. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Growing up, one of the well-loved board games of our church youth group was the Game of Life. I'm sure you know it. The board is a winding road from birth to retirement, and your character, represented by a tiny, colorful plastic station wagon, was moved along by the spin of the dial. Now, along the way, you had to make strategic decisions that may or may not advance your life, so to speak. Questions to answer like, will you go to college or will you work straight out? Will you get married? How many children will you have? What kind of house will you buy? Now, with good decisions and a little bit of luck, you too could win the game of life. Now, if this sounds a little too realistic, it's because, intentionally or not, the game actually represents the human drive to make something of ourselves. It represents the human drive to make something of ourselves, to show the world through our success that we have value, that we are enough. Human life has become a game to be played toward the goal of total fulfillment. This is a heritage of ours from the Enlightenment, from our Western philosophical thought, that to live fully is to meet these certain markers of success and enoughness. But it doesn't just come from there. It begins even since the fall. We have worked hard. Humans have worked to the bone to try to play the game and prove our enoughness. In the past, this looked something like owning land and cattle. And then later, it looked like having a family, 2.5 children and a dog and a white picket fence. But today it may look something more like likes and hearts and retweets, being labeled an influencer. All of this we try to accomplish. We strive, we hustle, we compete to make it happen lest we fall. We play the game of life. We follow the rules. We meet the criteria, all so that we may prove our worth. But just like the board game, our game of life has no room for failure. No space for messing up or coming up short. You either meet the standard of the game or you lose. This leaves those who are at the end of their ropes, the suffering, the stumbling, the weary, with nowhere to go. They are resigned to worthlessness, with no hope. How much pain and grief is caused in our world, do you think, as a result of people not being able to live up to the standards that we have set? The game of life is ruthless and even death-dealing. Yet the allure of its glory draws us in. Even Jesus could not escape this temptation. In fact, this is where we find him in our gospel reading this morning. Fresh from his baptism in the Jordan, Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit for a confrontation with the devil. And only after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, of starvation, the accuser finally appears. With each lunge of his tongue, like a fencing sword, the devil sought to provoke our Lord into proving his worth. He goaded repeatedly, "If you are the Son of God." Never mind that God had just spoken over him from the clouds, "This is my Son, the Beloved." No, he had to demonstrate it. And he had to demonstrate it in the only way the world knew how, by playing the game. Now, these three temptations that we find, these three instances, were uniquely suited to Jesus, uniquely suited to his claims of divine sonship. Yet at the core of each of them, are the desired spoils of the game. They're all our desired ends in playing the game of life. The devil, he's not that creative. The desire to satisfy our every hunger, our every want, to turn our own stones into loaves of bread, the want to take control, to captain our own ship, even to have God at our beck and call. The yearning to gain the love, the allegiance of the world and all its splendor. What the tempter set before Christ is the very thing, are the very things which tempt us and the world every single day. Day. Now, I don't want you to get confused about the scale here. What I'm not saying is that we're tempted in every way to be on this big, grand scale. Even in the little corners of our lives, these wants and desires to be in control, to satisfy our wants, to gain allegiance from the world, it can even be something very small. And yet, it is still that temptation. Jesus was tempted with the very same as we. There's this online clip show. It's called Subway Takes. Subway Takes. Where the interviewer asks the people on the New York subway, he asks them for their hot takes, a controversial yet pretty innocent opinion. One of them might be, is a hot dog a sandwich? Right. Now, one person's take recently struck me. She said, if Jesus came back today, he would have to sell himself to the algorithm to make any impact. Basically, Jesus would have to buy into the modern commercialized hustle to get anywhere. We all recognize the game which the world, the flesh, and the devil is forcing us to play. The outward appearance may be different across time and space, but the temptations are the same. What's striking, though, about Jesus' response is not that he resists temptation, but that he refuses to play the game altogether. He doesn't debate, even when the devil misquotes scripture. He doesn't debate. He doesn't one-up. He doesn't even employ the traditional religious moves to outmaneuver the devil. Jesus simply says no. He waits, and he entrusts himself to his Father's care. He chose to find his life and his worth in what God has declared, rather than in whatever the game of life could promise. For Christ did not come to play the world's game. He did not come to prove his worth, to prove his sonship, or even to show that we could win. He came to do away with all of it, to put a stop to the death-dealing game playing and replace it with the life-giving kingdom of God. And he began here in the wilderness, the place representing spiritual desolation. He breaks forth the streams of eternal life. Now, Jesus's no to playing the game did not make him immune to suffering. He still starved. He still wept. Yet through all of this, Christ showed that God's way and God's kingdom would come not through what the world thought was power and strength, but through weakness. Indeed, that the ultimate emblem of weakness and suffering and shame, the cross of Calvary, would be the final end to the world's game and the tempter's power. Here in the wilderness, the devil leaves Jesus, not because he was beat, not because Jesus won the game, but because he said, game over. My friends, this gospel reading is not a lesson in moral fortitude or spiritual perseverance or even a call to try harder the next time that we are tempted. It is a declaration that the game is over. The hustling, the striving, the proving is ended. Christ does not stand before us as an inspiring victor, but he stands in our place as the one who has overcome for us. And he gives us now the benefit of his refusal, freedom, and new life. And when we realize that we have nothing left to offer, we have nothing left to leverage, when we have empty hands and empty hearts, Jesus is there with unfailing love and life-giving grace. Author John Zoll is fond of saying, God's office is found at the end of our rope. We are now called enough. We are now called full of worth, not because of anything that we could accomplish, but because of what Christ has done for us and in our stead. In your wilderness, Christ meets you. Having put an end to the striving and the hustling and the game playing, and he gives you the everlasting life of the kingdom of God, the thing that we most hope for. It is now ours in him. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your blessed Son was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, and yet he overcame. Come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations, and as you know the weakness of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Hear us now, O Lord, as we lift before you our prayers. Heavenly Father, you created the world and all therein. Of one blood you formed all the nations of the earth. Guide all peoples, we pray, in the way of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Especially, God, we lift before you those entrusted with leadership and governance in this country, in this state, in this county. We pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment, compassion and understanding, that they may hear the voice of the people and that they may govern for the good of all. We remember before you, O God, all those who are victims of great tragedy and strife. We mourn for the loss of life anywhere and everywhere. But especially, O God, we lift before you the families and those affected by the violence done in Chaco Bottom this weekend. We pray for their families that they may be comforted. We pray for the community that it may know your peace and love and that it may rally around each other and put an end to the violence and the suffering. Lord, may this be the case in every place where wrong is done. Blessed Jesus, at your baptism, God named you as his beloved Son and commanded us to listen to him. Grant that we, your people, would have ears to hear and hearts to follow all that you have to say. Empower us to bring your good word to the ends of the earth. We pray, O God, for our brothers and sisters in the Church of Algeria. We pray that you would protect them and preserve them as they face persecution, and that their ministry efforts might flourish, that many may come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless them and keep them. We pray for the brother and sister churches that are the Presbytery of the James, this body of regional believers seeking to be connected in mission and ministry. We pray that you would bless us and give us the mind of Christ that we may meet the needs of the people in this land, in this place, and that you would show us how we can work together to proclaim the gospel in word and deed. Help the presbytery, especially, O God, as we begin the search for a new temporary presbyter, and draw in strong leadership with vision, not their own, but yours. And we pray for this church, which you have called Hebron. Bless us in our discernment, O God. Give us your Holy Spirit with wisdom and understanding. Grant us courage and compassion and clarity, so that we may follow where Christ is leading, so that we may know how you are calling us to be in this place. And let us shine as a light, as a city on the hill, for all to see. Help us, O God. O Holy Spirit, you are the healing balm of the wounded and the life-giving water to the thirsty. Comfort and bless all those who suffer this day in body, mind, or spirit. Give them hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your saving help. Especially we lift to you all those and all those situations that are on our hearts and minds as we name them before you in this moment of silence. Holy Trinity, we bring to you these, our prayers, and all the prayers of our hearts, knowing that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. For we make it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let us bring our life and labors to the Lord. us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks for all the plenteous gifts that you give. And so we give back but a token of these. And we pray, use them for your glory. Multiply them and empower them, and empower us to be used for the building up of your kingdom and for the glory of your name. All this we pray through Christ Jesus. Amen. Friends, Christ has put an end to the game playing, to the hustling and to the striving, and has made a way for life, for freedom, and for grace. And he did it all for you. So go from this place in that hope to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.